Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future Know Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it.
Baby. Yeah. Put it up.
And today I got a special guest, Mr. Jonathan. You want to give him your Twitter handle?
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's at Brime Time Noel. So Brime Time with a B instead of T.
All right. Give him a follow. So today's episode, what I wanted to do was, because we got the coronavirus going on, a lot of small businesses are actually being affected by it. And I had actually seen you on Twitter talking about, you know, how your business is being affected. So I felt like, you know, any kind of way I could help as far as, you know, getting your business name out there or whatever, you know, I want to do my part, because I mean, I only can imagine, because my uncle and my granddad both were small business owners, you know, and I know how that struggle can be when you go through droughts, man. So, you know, that's the reason for the episode.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate it. And it's something that is extra tough because it was so unforeseen. You know, things were moving full speed ahead. And so we've been in business now for about 4 years, but no one could have anticipated something quite like this. There's a lot of small business owners out there that are hurting, and I'm merely one of them. So I'm humbled for the opportunity and really appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine like around this time of the year, this would be like your peak time, right? I mean, the sun's out, so I would imagine
that's,
this is
that's
peak
right,
time.
Absolutely. It sure is. It's our peak time for both sides of our business. We have 5 sunglass stores in Atlanta, Gainesville, Florida. Yeah, I don't know. I know. Question our judgment on that one a little bit. Why would we go to Gainesville before Tallahassee? But
right.
and then out in Texas as well. And then we have our corporate gifting business, which works with companies to reward their top performing salespeople and their customers and things like that. And it's peak season for that side of the business too. So this timing of this is a double whammy for us here at Select Shades.
Okay. So let's talk about how did you get started with Select Shades and how did you build it?
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of fell into my lap. So I graduated the Florida State Hospitality Program in 2002. And then the bulk of my career after that was spent with Marriott Hotels in multiple roles, from operations to sales and marketing. And through some friendships and contacts I made during my time at Marriott, I ended up in the optical business, working for a small sunglass chain of about 25 stores. They wanted to do corporate gifting with sunglasses out on the road at meetings and events worldwide. And so they pulled me in with my background in hotels and the events industry to launch that. And that was in 2014. So I left my secure job with Marriott to go work for a small business.
Right.
And launched this division and ended up doing so. And we had some early on success, but then the owner of that company sold the company to Sunglass Hut, obviously a huge conglomerate. And through that, I lost that job, but linked up with my business partner from that company. And we restarted it as our own company from scratch and opened our first retail store about a year and a half later and have since grown to 5. And kept the events side of the business going as well. So that's how I got it started. Kind of a random fall in your lap type of opportunity that I'm very thankful for.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, man. That's pretty cool. I just know, man, it's hard to step out there on a leap of faith like that. You know, you leave a secure job like a Marriott to go start something else, man. That had to be kind of scary.
Very scary. Very scary, but something I never really hesitated on. I've already always kind of had the entrepreneurial bone in my body that I've just never had found the niche. So once that opportunity thankfully presented itself, I just kind of stepped out. And even now, with the future being very unsure, and for all of us, not just me as a business owner, but just for all of us, we don't know what the next few days are going to bring, but in the next few weeks are going to bring, but I still feel at peace and really would not have changed anything. I love being a small business and I love the people and opportunities that I'm able to involve myself in through that opportunity, through owning a business. So, and it's really fun to interact with other Florida State entrepreneurs as well. I've loved the opportunity to do that.
Oh, really? So I want to get into that, but let me ask you this question. How many people do y'all currently employ?
Well, we have 36 on the payroll, most of which are furloughed right now, unfortunately, as we've had to completely shut down our retail stores.
Right.
So I ended up sending letters and trying to call each of them individually just to say, you know what, you're still part of the family, and we will do our best to provide for you as much as we can during this time, really until the payroll dollars are no longer there. So we're not able to pay them hourly for their work, but we've established a GoFundMe under Select Shades Employees Fund that goes directly to provide for any of their needs. And then our website at select-shades.com is still open for business. We're still able to fulfill orders where you can still purchase gift cards from there that you can share with your friends and family, or perhaps a care package for someone. In fact, if you note that you're buying an e-gift card on the website, if you note that it's for a care package for someone that is a first responder or in the medical field or perhaps a grocery store clerk or anyone like that, we'll kick in an additional $25 to your e-gift card purchase. That's just on us because we want to take care of those folks and make sure that they know they're appreciated.
Yeah, man, they're having a tough go of it right now. I got a friend and she's a nurse, and man, I don't know when the last time she went home, to be honest with you, since, you know, all this the virus and everything started, the pandemic started. She works up there in Atlanta, so I text her and call her. Sometimes I even send her lunch, you know, because I know how crazy it is right now, you know.
It's incredible. And I'm in Atlanta, but my entire family, immediate family, is down in Tallahassee, including my special needs brother who has Down syndrome. He works at the Publix on Monroe near Lake Ella. And I just worry about him being in the grocery store every day. I don't know what this virus does to people with special needs. So if you could lift him up along with so many others in your thoughts, prayers, meditations, whatever you're doing to send the positive vibes out there to all of the people that are through their work, potentially exposed to this virus each day.
Man, it is, it's weird. We were just talking on the other pod about, you know, the federal government response. And, you know, I think, you know, for me, I'm a big believer in big state, little government, you know, I really am. So I just really think it's incompetent on the state to really take care of this issue, because it just seems like the federal government right now, it just seems like we're in this place where it's all about blame, and it's just, it feels like nothing's getting done. Like, it just, it's just crazy where we are, you know? It's just crazy to me. Like, you know, the most
powerful. It indeed is.
Yeah, it's the
most. I can't. Wow. It's crazy. I really hope that the federal government quits the finger pointing, and we've got great officials up there like Dr. Fauci that are working tirelessly to give us the correct information, and we just need them all to be on the same page. Yeah. If nothing else, just be on the same page with the information that you're putting out there. I saw today where the president suggested that surgical masks be reused. And where does that even come from? I bet it's just stuff that's being put out there that's just kind of just out of left field totally.
Dude, it is. When he talked about the malaria pill that cure malaria. I'm like, what are we? I was just like, what is going on? Like, are we just making up drugs now? Just to, what are we doing? Like,
I know. Any shred of information that people put out there is being, you know, taken by the federal government in some cases, and that's really not a good idea. But I really do hope that I do feel like our communities are unified right now, more so than the negative.
Right.
You know, it feels like people are coming together and through their virtual houses of worship or however they are communicating with each other virtually. I do feel like people are coming together and helping each other. And it is really great to see that. And that's what we're going to need to get through the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, man. I mean, I hope it doesn't last as long. I'm hoping. I'm calling Brandon right now. Brandon should be joining us on the show. So just give me a minute. I got Brandon coming on the show. But I hope it takes a turn. And I hope we learn something from this, man. I hope we collectively learn something from this. You know, we've dealt with pandemics before and, you know, certain diseases before, like Ebola and all these other diseases. But I hope we create something that business owners doesn't have to sweat it out at night just because something happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like our financial system literally hangs by the thread of big business. And I really don't like that.
Right. No, absolutely. And it's going to be really interesting to see the different toolkits and the resources that are out there, such as the SBA emergency loan program, whether they're able to keep small businesses afloat, restaurants in particular. I know I've been watching I admire Madison Social so much for what they do. And as a fellow entrepreneur, I just kind of take notes for how they communicate with their customers and create community with their customers and their followers. And, you know, the restaurant industry is just going to be hit so hard, incredibly hard, just like the retail industry is. And I just hope that the mechanisms out there that are designed to keep small businesses afloat work, and that we do come out on the other side with a better way of protecting small businesses. Insurance companies need to have business traveler interruption.
Right.
Business interruption coverage.
Right.
I've never thought about that before and had to be faced with it. But, you know, that needs to be part of an umbrella coverage or a specific coverage, business interruption insurance. And boy, I won't ignore that going forward.
Yeah, it's crazy. Brandon, do you have any questions?
Not yet. Okay. Go ahead. I'll jump in. I kind of caught y'all in the middle of a conversation. So
oh, okay.
I'm no. lost in where we are right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think the main thing, like, I was looking at the restaurant part of it, and I was like, well, the restaurants might be all right because they're still doing takeout. But I thought about all the waitresses that they're laying off because they don't need all these waitresses anymore. So I was like, And those people, you know, they live check to check, and they depend on tips and things like that. So, I mean, that's about 2 weeks.
And it's incredible, and I've felt the same burden for my hourly employees as well. A lot of them live on their hourly wages and then the commissions that they earn from their sales, and with the stores being closed, them not having really any source of income. There are some companies, big box companies, that are trying to do their part and ramp up their workforce to help with restocking shelves and everything else. So hopefully they're able to take advantage of that and unemployment, but it's a burden on me as a business owner to think about all of my employees that have helped my business partner and I build this to what it is so far, and for them not to have hours is heartbreaking. And they're right there along with, as you say, the people in the restaurant industry, the servers and the bussers and all of the people in the chefs, even the people that work on the lines.
Right.
It's unprecedented and heartbreaking. And I just have to hold out hope that they're able to get through this, because really there's not a single one of us that's not going to be impacted financially from this. And we're just going to have to create a new system that we've never had before to help people get through, whether that's suspending mortgages and rent payments, whether it's suspending power bills. It's a new normal for all of us right now until we get through this and learn the lessons and apply what we've learned to create a new system that prepares us for this in the future.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Why do you believe that Yeah, I'm just saying, why do you believe it hasn't happened yet? Why haven't they suspended mortgages and rent, so on and so forth? Like, a few companies have. I know, you know, my auto finance company, they've suspended for 3 months. But outside of a few companies, it doesn't seem like it's taken on, I guess, globally, where everything essentially should be suspended because of so many people being impacted.
Absolutely. And I think that's where our system shows its limitations, right? When you have a federal government that has ultimate power, but they delegate to the states and the local municipalities as much as possible, that usually is a wonderful system. And we've all benefited from having the states having more autonomy and the local communities having more autonomy to make decisions that are best for their communities. But in a time like this, it does lead to inconsistencies where this community does this and that community does that, and there's not a lot of consistency with it. So
right.
We just are going to have to look to someone on the federal level to reassure and say, you know, look, from a federal level, this is the direction that we need to take, and this is how we are expecting companies within this industry to react to this in order to help their customers and the people that rely on them. And, you know, get some consistency across the board with how they're going to help those companies make that happen.
And it just feels like the end to me, even when we come out of this, it feels like the end of the ideal of these mom and pop stores. And I felt like we was getting back to mom and pop type stuff because more people was becoming entrepreneurs. So you see more of these food trucks and local restaurants that were starting to pop up everywhere. You know, it seemed like it had been a big push under the last administration for it to become that. And I think he's doing it a lot, even in this administration. I think it was still a push to become more mom and pop. But, you know, with this happening, it's a big shock to the system, I think. Because you need those mom and pop stores to, you know, take care of that community because they know what that community needs more than the federal government or even a state official would even know, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's how we saw our place within the retail world as a unique thing because retailers are having such a tough time even before this pandemic. Retailers in general have had a tough time adjusting to things all going online. And we recognized that as a small business within the sunglass space, you know, people still love to try on sunglasses before they buy. It's a very personal item to them. And it's a shift where national retailers were starting to retract,
right?
Not open stores, giving the space for mom and pop to come in and redefine the retail experience and kind of take us back to a little bit more of a Main Street America feel of mom and pop stores. So, and restaurants for that matter. So it's really going to take us all banding together and helping each other out, small businesses and entrepreneurs within whatever communities we're a part of, whether that's a Florida State community or your own community or a community of small businesses and entrepreneurs.
Okay. And so I just want to let everybody know that's selectshades.com. And you're based out of Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, select-shades.com. We have the hyphen in there, so select-shades.com is the website, absolutely.
Okay, we'll keep pumping that. So let's get to football now.
All right.
What made you an FSU fan? I know you said you went to the school. Was you an FSU fan before you went to the school?
Oh, my goodness. It's in my blood. My grandparents met at Florida State back in the 40s. My grandfather was in the first class of graduating men after it transitioned from Florida State College for Women into Florida State University and went co-ed. And then my father also went to Florida State and graduated. So it was in the blood. I'm a third generation Knoll. And there was no other way. It was just going to be Florida State or it was going to be the highway. I would have broken my family's spirit had I signed at the school in Gainesville. So
the school in Orange. What about
that,
you? What
yeah,
about,
that yeah. one. There's several schools of Orange now that are kind of bugging us a little bit. We need to take back the Garnet and Gold and make it reign supreme.
Yeah. What about you, Brandon? I never asked you that before.
Oh, Die Hard. My dad was, and, you know, so I grew up a fan, and now, you know, I'm raising two more fans. So, no, I guess in a short amount of time, we'll be a lot like his family. You know, we'll just have generations and generations of Florida State.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story about how I'm a fan because of my granddad, but I'll tell you a funny story about why he became a Florida State fan. This is a funny story. So my granddad is 80, no, he's 79. So, you know, he kind of was kind of raised in like the Jim Crow era of football. I mean, you know, things going on back then. So he helped build a Gator Bowl that was in Jacksonville because the Florida Gators would play in Jacksonville and they played in Gainesville. I don't know if y'all remember that. Did y'all know that? But
mm-hmm.
So he was helping build a Gator Bowl, and he was like, you know, the times were so hard out there. He seen a guy throw a brick down to hit, you know, because I guess the white guys worked up top, and the black guys worked at the bottom. So he seen a white guy throw a brick down and basically killed the guy that was working next to him. And he was like, F the Gators, F this Gator Bowl. so he hates the Gators with like a passion. Like that's just, so after that, I think that was just about around the rise of Bobby Bowden had just got to Tallahassee. I want to say it was around the 70s, right? I want to say it was the 70s, 77, 78.
Yeah, 76, I believe.
Right,
yeah.
Right about around that time. And that's when he was like, I'm going to root for the Florida State Seminoles. So he's been a fan since the day Bobby arrived from West Virginia. And he always was a fan of Bobby Bowden. And basically, if you come in his house, you have to be a Florida State fan. Until his daughter ended up going to the Florida Gators because she wanted to go to a nursing school. And we all hated her for that. And she married a Gator. So let that soak in about your daughters and kids. They're just big disappointments.
No, man, it's personal for you.
Yeah, it was personal for him, man. He was upset about that. So, favorite Florida State player?
Oh, goodness. I'm going to have to go with my man, Peter Warrick. I was in school from 98 to 02, and so I got to see him from the stands at Doak Campbell Stadium every week, and, man, that was something else. I still go back and watch his highlights frequently
because
it's just incredible to watch. And then I'd have to say my second one from outside of a time when I was actually in school would be Warrick Dunn, because obviously great on the field, but even better off the field, and such a role model for so many people.
Yeah, I met Warrick.
I think me and you are very similar. Those are my two favorites. Peter Warrick, because that was around the time that I was coming up in high school. I played wide receiver, and I modeled my game after Peter Ward. So I know Peter has been my all-time favorite player. I think one of the first highlights when my son started watching videos on YouTube of football players, I was like, you haven't seen a highlight until you watch Peter Ward's highlights. So that was one of the first highlights that I showed him. And so, Peter Warrick and Warrick Dunn is second mainly for the off the field. You know, he's been a great person, always been stayed out of trouble. And what he's done, the way he was able to take the negative in his life and turn it into a positive and help people, so many people. I look at, you know, the impact that I'd imagine he made on Deshaun Watson's future for him not being in the NFL, I think is an unprecedented type of person and type of man that Warrick Dunn is.
Yeah, I met Warrick Dunn. Warrick Dunn is like probably one of the best people you'll ever meet, like period, like point blank period. Like that's a great A guy. And Peter Ward, though, what's funny about Peter Ward was the first guy I can remember on TV that was he was must watch TV. I think he was the first of that type of just like super, like, you know, every game he was going to do something crazy. Like he was A1 basketball playing football. Like he was Michael Jordan of college football. Like, I just had to watch Peter Ward. You know what I'm saying? I didn't care if it was Duke. Louisiana Tech, it did not matter. Like, he was going to do something crazy, make somebody on defense look stupid, and that was just what it was going to be.
No, he was the only player that I remember standing up. Like, whenever the punt, like, it'd be a punt return, I looked the way he walked onto the field. I was like, oh, he's taking this to the house.
Yeah.
And, like, you knew before he even walked on the field that he was going to take it to the house. Like, all right, he's taking this to back to the house. And then he would do it. And it was like, again, I've never seen a player, as good. And I think he should be recognized as one of the greatest college football players of all time. And I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves.
Yeah,
I got to see that that play at Louisiana. I think it was Louisiana Tech,
yeah.
If I remember correctly. It was one of the first plays of that particular season where he just ran around in circles in the backfield for about 5 minutes before he finally sprinted out and found the corner of the end zone. And then there's a video of Bobby Bowden shortly afterwards, after the game, reenacting how they drove that play up.
It was crazy because my favorite Peter Ward game is when Chris Winkie had hurt his neck, and my stepdad was a Bulldog Gator fan, and Peter Ward never lost to the Gators, but he could have I think he did lose one time, but he was ready for that game, like, oh yeah. Y'all ain't got y'all quarterback. All the Gator fans like, oh, it's over. We finna beat y'all. We got Javon Curse, and it's finna be this and that. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's finna be a tough week if we lose this game. They already getting started. And, man, Peter Ward went out there, and didn't they give Javon Curse the Buckets Award, like, before the game even started? Like, it was just like, you're the Buckets Award winner. It was something crazy like that where they had the award on the field. And I was like, okay, we probably not going to win this game. But Peter Ward got that quarterback and decided to shake the whole team.
That's right.
Yeah. I was like, let's do this.
Line him up at quarterback and just watch him be better than everybody else on the field.
Yeah. I mean, he made Javon Curse look, and that was a good defense against him. Javon Curse, Mike Peterson. I mean, they had good players on that defense, man. But he had a way of just making guys look stupid. Like, Pete was crazy, man. He should have won a Heisman. I don't care about the Dillard thing. He, giving that award to Ron Dane over Peter Ward was stupid to me. This made no sense.
I thought the biggest snub was him not getting invited. Like, I understood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was clearly the best player in college football. Everybody knew it. Everybody who got, the guy who got the award knew it. Like, everybody knew that he was the best player in college football. So the fact that he didn't get invited to the ceremony, I thought was the biggest crime. Not giving it to him was, you know, whatever. But, yeah, the fact that he didn't even get the invite is insane.
But that's back when college football was still kind of lying to itself a little bit. You know, they were still trying to act like they were so collegial back then. So it was still pretending back
it's
then.
It's almost as, yeah. Almost as bad as Dalvin not getting an invite in retrospect.
Oh, man.
Obviously, Dalvin should have gotten an invite as well.
Yeah, he definitely should have gotten an invite.
I think, correct. I think the further removed we get from Dalvin Cook, the more he'll get recognized as being one of the best running backs to play college football.
Yeah.
Like, the speed, ability to change direction, you never had an angle on it. Like, he had the ability to make a guy believe he had the angle and then run him out of that angle. You don't see it very often, but nobody ever seemed to ever be able to take the correct angle to get him. And when he did this thing where he could stop on a dive, it looked like he was going out of bounds, and he just kind of cut it in at the last second. It's, again, that was a complete running back. And I believe, again, the further we get removed from him being in college football and they start looking at these highlights, the more he'll get recognized as being one of the greatest ever played.
Yeah, he was stupid good, really stupid good. So yeah.
Going back real quick, I wanted to just tell the story of the night that you're talking about where we beat the Gators.
Yeah.
And Peter worked through the touchdown pass to Ron Dugans. I will never forget that night because this is long before the term lit was ever a thing, but I have never seen Tallahassee so lit, because not only did we win that game, later on that night we found out that Kansas State had lost,
right,
which made us, we were going to the national championship, and we ended up playing Tennessee, and we won't talk about that game, but hey, we made it. But I have never seen Florida State's campus and the surrounding areas so exuberant as that night in 98 when we beat the Gators on Peter Warwick's touchdown pass to Ron Dugan.
Dude, I would tell you, dude, that was like the greatest Florida State run, because That because they beat the didn't they beat the Gators like 3 years straight or 4 years straight or something like that? It was like something stupid like that. Like they, it was crazy. Like I because I remember they beat the Rex Grossman.
It wasn't the fact that they beat them. It wasn't the fact that they beat them the three. It was the fact that they were beating really good Florida teams.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. It wasn't like during the down. It wasn't the down up like the down seasons where we, you know, where we just won what seven straight or whatever case maybe where they have a quarterback and didn't have any players. This was like those were really good top ten top you know. Top ranked Florida teams that we just kept running through.
Yeah, they was that team that them '90s them late '90s teams was just man, them teams was so loaded, man. I mean, Peter Ward leaves and you think, okay, we're gonna come back down to earth, and then Snoop Minutes comes out of nowhere. He's like the best wide receiver in college football. It was just like wow, that team was so loaded, man. Oh man,
yeah,
but,
yeah, you're not having to drop off.
No, man. And it what was funny about those games back then was you would watch the whole game, even though they was blowouts, just because you wanted to see the guy that was going to be playing next year. Like, okay, that guy's going to be playing next year. And it wasn't like one or two guys. It would be like 12 guys. You'd be like, oh, man, you got another first-round pick at defense end. Oh, look at Jamal Reynolds. Oh, man, look at this guy. You know what I'm saying? It was just crazy loaded, man. And I remember listening to Nick Saban was talking about, you know, as he was coming up as a coach and how he used to come to Tallahassee to study the practices and stuff. And he was just like, you just got to stack talent on top of talent. Cause he was like, those practices was so hard. Like watching those guys go at it every damn practice and the way Mickey, you know, created the tension between the offense and the defense at all times. Like, cause at one time, which people got mad about this later on, but at one time, you know, the offense and the defense rode separate bus. They sat separate in the locker room, and it was like, you do your job, we're going to do our job, but we're going to kick y'all ass in the process of doing our job. You know what I'm saying? And that competition that he was breeding.
They said
he was breeding competition,
dude. The practices were harder than the game.
Yeah, he was breeding so much competition within that team. It was like, you know, I mean, Bobby was a part of that too, but you think about what Mickey meant to the program as far as the way he set the culture of the team. I mean, because Mickey basically was the culture setter of the team, you know? And Bobby did the, you know, the politicking right. And the grab handing and stuff. But, man, it's – and what is funny is when you see those players, when they see Mickey, and when Mickey comes around, he's like the most beloved guy in Florida State history, in my opinion. I mean, it's crazy the way they react. You see 40-year-old men at, like, little schoolboys, seeing Michael Jordan or something. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Good times.
Yeah,
good times. I think we're on our way back to that. I think this new staff has that mentality as well. So I'm excited to see. Although I just, you know, not that I'm putting it out there in the universe, but I'm certainly praying against it. But I have to wonder, are we going to see a football season this year? I sure hope so. Because if we get there and that doesn't happen, man, I'm going to.
Yeah, that's going to be rough, man. What do you think about the new staff?
I'm all on board, man. I am impressed. Anytime I can see, you know, just as a small business owner, you know, leadership is something that I'm all the time trying to look for and emulate and find people that are successful at it. And this coach, whenever you have just a group of people that are successful on their own right and on an upward trajectory in their own careers, pause that upward mobility and take lateral moves because they want to work for someone else that's right. Inspired them. That's a heck of a leadership. That's a heck of a testament to someone's leadership. So yeah. I am very impressed with
Norvell,
head coach.
I think I was the one thing I get the feeling out of him. He does have a Jimbo feel to him, a little bit like. He has a plan, and he doesn't seem like he's trying to catch up. Like, Willie always kind of felt like he was trying to catch up all the time. But Norvell feel like he's in control. He knows exactly what has to be done, and he has a message, and everybody is going to sell that message to the players and to the fans, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, he's so confident in his plan, he'll let the media in and not be so timid about it. That was the thing with Jimbo is that we all knew that he had a plan and he talked about the process all the time, but
right.
no one was really sure what it was like and how it was being executed. Whereas this coaching staff is so open and confident about their plan that they'll let the media come and watch practice and see what's going on. And that's really refreshing to me. I love to see some of the inner workings and even some of the drills that they run. It's really interesting to watch how they coach it, how involved they all get.
So right.
I'm very encouraged. I think it's going to be a great staff. I'm a huge fan of Coach Atkins on the O-line and just have been watching as many YouTube videos as I can find of his interviews and some of the things that he's talked about in his past roles, because I think he's a game changer for our biggest position of need.
Man, I like him in recruiting, man. God, he's a good recruiter, man, because he got guys that's talking about Florida State right now that I didn't really expect to be having certain conversations about Florida State. So I'm
absolutely
I think he's a dynamic recruiter, man. If we could keep him for 3 years, that'd be good, I think. What you think, Brandon? Is he even here? I don't think he's gone. Okay. Yeah, so what about the defensive staff? You don't have any concerns about the defense?
You know what? Not really. I wouldn't say concerns, no. I think Coach Fuller's track record of statistically speaks for itself for the things that he's been able to do with limited amounts of resources at the schools that he's been at are really, really impressive. So, no, I think the defensive staff is in good shape as well. I'm excited. And I really can't – I think it kind of got forgotten there for a while. Wasn't downplayed at the time, but just in the subsequent months, it kind of was forgotten just how big of a hire the general manager role was from the guy that was in the NFL. I'm blanking on his name right now. I can't believe I'm blanking on it. But
Bruce
just
Ward.
To have it like that chief,
Bruce,
yes,
yeah,
yes, the chief of staff role to kind of tie everything together. That is huge. We've never had that at Florida State before. And I think with his background, not only in organizing the team and keeping everything kind of smoothly running, but also his role in facilities, I think he'll be instrumental in getting the practice and the football only built.
Yeah, man, they need to get that thing built like tomorrow. But look where we're at right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy
yeah.
right now. So it's going to be a little tough to get all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, first
man.
We got to get through this.
Yeah, we got to get through this, man. I really hope it's a football season, because then it's going to be like, you know, Marvin Wilson and Tamarian Terry, like they came back for no reason, you know? And that'd be, I think that'd be
I don't
hard.
Even want to think about it, man. I don't even want to think about it. If we get to August and there's rumbling, well, before even August, if we get to June or July and there's rumblings that it's not going to happen, and I think it's going to kind of depend. If the Olympics cancels, then, you know, that's going to be a domino for everything in the fall. But, man, I just, I'm going to need football more than ever before once August rolls around.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. I'm mad the spring ain't got canceled. I had to book my room and everything, man. I was just like, ugh, this is terrible.
I know.
The pandemic
know.
Has hit.
I know. There's a lot of things to be mad about right now, for sure. I'm trying to control
yeah.
that emotion as much as I can. And
But, you know, it's...
But it's there.
Yeah,
it's undoubtedly there.
It's good to have that type of privilege where you can kind of, you know, think about those type of things, man. You know, because, you know, what's going on in Italy is just... It's crazy what's going on in Italy right now. All I can do is pray for Italy, man.
Oh, I know.
That's, man.
I know. And we're going to be saying that, I fear we're going to be saying that about the U.S. in the coming weeks if we don't start getting our act together. And
yeah.
getting our communication and taking things seriously from the top down.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm getting ready to close out, man. You have anything else you want to say?
I just, you know, thank you again. I appreciate you reaching out. Really appreciate the opportunity. This is my first time going on a podcast, and I love it. If anyone, I know there's a million small businesses out there in need, but if you're able to spare anything for our employees fund, that's on GoFundMe, the Select Shades Employees Fund. And if you want to order something and you don't see it on our website, you feel free to DM me. I'll make sure that if we can get it, we'll get it to you for sure. And again, Select Shades is the name of the business, and I would love to interact with as many of you as possible.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I will copy and paste the GoFundMe within the episode on my Twitter page. We got a pretty good listenership in Atlanta, Miami, Orlando, so I think it'll hopefully boost business, man. I wish you the best, and because I know if Select Shades come back, then, you know, that take care of other people's families, man. You know, the trickle-down effect of that is amazing, man. And I hope everybody follow suit, you know. Maybe when you get your stimulus check, maybe just take $25 out of it, $50 out of it, and, you know, drop it on the GoFundMe page or buy a pair of shades, you know.
I also think Florida State does a really good job of supporting, you know, each other. So I think if we can really get
to catch on. Once we get on the other side of this, I can't wait to reach out to the school and come speak to the entrepreneur classes, to the hospitality classes, and help those guys that are in school right now, guys and gals, learn a little bit about my experience. I really look forward to that.
That'd be awesome, man. And, man, let's stay in contact, man. And, you know, next time you want to come on the show, just let me know. Just DM the podcast page or DM me and just let me know. We could do one. We could do one every week if you want to, you know.
Man, I appreciate it. I could talk Florida State ball all day long. And especially right now, it's extra therapeutic.
Yeah, it is therapeutic, man. It is therapeutic. My job hasn't even stopped me from working. So it's like, that's why my time's been so off. I'm like, man, everybody else is free. And I'm the only one going to work every day. But, you know, thank God I am going to work, you know.
That's right. And, you know, just make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Staying, keeping your distance.
Yeah. I'm so happy about this distance thing. I don't have to worry about nobody walking up on me no more. I'll be like, hey, man, back up. Don't even come over here with all that. I don't want to know the secret. I don't want to know the secret, bro. Back up.
Absolutely.
Social distance.
All right, y'all. This episode has been brought to you by select-shades.com. Go out, man. Support. We're going to tag a GoFundMe page on here. You know, make a donation. We out. Serve crack. Uncle fronted me some peas, had to get in.